back when I was a kid. We didn't have in the corner, back by the wood pile. We just had suck.
I'm Spunk, and our guy, thanks for stopping by. Welcome to another edition of Trying to Herd Cats, the philosophical podcast where I throw anonymous quotes at anonymous people and watch for what flies out of folks' mouths. And as always, I will reveal the source of the quotes at the end of the podcast. First quote, without the backdrop of ignorance, it is obvious that I'm no great mind. Without an idiot standing next to me, my own inadequacies appear in profusion, and they are plain in the friends around me as well.
Well, it really helps to have somebody dumber to look at.
This is why we're hanging out.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when you're driving, and every driver on the road thinks every other driver is the worst.
Right.
And the truth is, none of us are the best driver. I've heard that everybody that's driving faster than you are has a death wish, and everybody that's driving slower than you are is an idiot. You're comparing everything else to your speed.
Right.
So, oh my god, these guys, they're trying to kill us! And, oh, grandma over here, oh, umpty-dum, take your time.
Okay, that's great you bring that up. That's a thing I notice, especially on social media. I don't know if we have some of the same friends. I'm not sure if any of them are guilty of this, but it's just constantly pointing out the flaws of others.
Oh, it's so easy. I think a lot of the time, especially on social media, we want to be involved. We want to comment. So I might see somebody post something slightly political, and my gut reaction, you know, leads me to comment without reflection and just, you know, hey, open your mind, idiot. You know, we're not in the Middle Ages anymore. You can't say that. That's not cool. I think we want to connect, and we also just really want to be affiliated. Basically, social media gives us a chance to put our name on everything all the time. Right. Somebody else's picture of their baby. Uh-huh. If you comment and you say, oh, precious, then your name is now with that baby.
Again, without the backdrop of ignorance, it is obvious that I'm no great mind. Without an idiot standing next to me, my own inadequacies appear in profusion, and they are playing in the friends around me as well.
It reminds me of my brother and his stupid friends.
Your brother shines when the stupid friends are around?
I think he shines when they're not around, but my brother has always walked the straight and narrow and gone to college and just been a really good person. And it seems like everybody that he's really close friends with has either been in trouble with the law or just totally idiotic when it comes to keeping relationships together. And since he's gotten divorced, his taste in women have gotten that way. Women who are just dumb. He dates beneath himself, and it makes him look really good, I guess, in a way.
Are they pretty or something?
Yeah, they're pretty, but they're dumb as bricks, dumb as a box of rocks.
Is she kind?
I don't know. I don't give her that much thought. I mean, it just, like she told Kevin, we talk white.
She said that you talk white?
Yeah, she's me and my brother, we all, and my mom, we all talk white. She is like, getois.
So the feeling is mutual in a way.
Exactly.
Well, so go back to your brother. If he chooses friends that are dumber than him, and obviously girls that are dumber than him, what's going on there? Why do you think he does that?
I think it's a self-esteem thing with Kevin. Kevin was bullied a lot when we were younger because he was little. And then he got bullied because I would fight people for him. So your sister's beating up people for you.
Right, your sister, yeah.
I had half boys on there who were scared to death of me. I mean, they would make fun of him, but they were scared to death of me. And mom was like, you're not really helping your brother that much by having all the little boys in the neighborhood scared of you. I'm like, you know what? If they say something to him in my presence, they will get a beat down. I'm so sorry.
Again, without the backdrop of ignorance, it is obvious that I'm no great mind. Without an idiot standing next to me, my own inadequacies appear in profusion, and they are plain in the friends around me as well.
Well, it makes me think about comparisons and how we can see ourselves differently depending on who our friends are, who we keep company with. So some people keep company with really
smart people, only really smart people, maybe book smart people, so that they can feel smarter because they actually feel less so.
Wouldn't they feel dumber if they're around people that are pretty smart?
Not if they're narcissistic. If some people feel really inadequate, sure. But if you feel okay and then you're with really smart people, it could actually help you up your game, so to speak.
Are there people that you are friends with that you, or you have to hang out with, that you always feel a little inadequate, or you feel intimidated even?
Oh, absolutely. And it's based on lots of things, not just book intelligence. So I have friends who are artists, and I do art on the side, and some of them are so amazing that I do compare myself with them. You know, I'm not as good and all that. And I have friends who are singer-songwriters, and I just do it on the side, and they're great and have CDs out, you know, like, oh, I can't even sing a note, you know, that kind of thing. It's really good for my ego to break me down that way, though, actually.
That's good.
I love that I have friends who can make me feel really challenged, and then when I feel jealous or inadequate, I know it's on me, and I really need to then do something about that.
Is ego something you struggle with, especially maybe in the field that you're in?
Ego for me is more about I have so much identity in my job that it's actually showing its ugly head now as I'm letting it go and I'm going without a job to California. Who am I when I go to California? I actually had a dream of wearing my badge. I have a badge, you know, at this medical school. And so I had a dream that I'm walking the streets of LA with my badge on going, look at my badge, look at my badge.
I am somebody.
Because I am somebody. Uh-huh. And I realized, wow, am I just somebody because of that job? You know, and I know that's not true, but it's something I'm struggling with.
Yeah.
You know, what we do to make a living is really creates our identity in so many ways. And, you know, there are people who live in kind of, we call the ivory towers of a university, and they, unfortunately, some folks in that position, they do think they know more than other people and that what they say is more important. And that I struggle with being in an environment where that is reinforced. And I don't want to have that attitude. And so I struggle speaking out actually against that kind of attitude.
It's notoriously a problem in the university setting that you have folks that are teaching that...
They're trying to prove something.
There's that. I mean, some of them didn't make it in the real world, as they say, you know, that they couldn't hack it. And somehow they end up being teachers. And not that they don't have something to offer, but but with that failure comes resentment and... bitterness, and then
you're not a great teacher, then you're just a curmudgeon and you're tenured, and it's really sad. I've had a bunch of teachers like that in grad school, and it was really sad because it's not inspiring. They're not holding you and cultivating your gifts. They're telling you, we want you to be little minions and be like me. And I rebelled against that every step of the way. I teach a lot of classes, teach a lot of seminars, and I'm very conscious of not being the authoritarian and encouraging their gifts and what they know and self-knowledge and group knowledge. I'm not a lecturer, usually.
Again, without the backdrop of ignorance, it is obvious that I'm no great mind. Without an idiot standing next to me, my own inadequacies appear in profusion, and they are plain in the friends around me as well.
But I feel like everybody is the same, and they should be treated the same.
So no matter how dumb I get, you'll still be nice to me?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Because I'm dumb.
Smart is as smart does. Who's anybody to compare the two?
Right.
Why waste your time on comparing yourself to anybody? Anybody you walk across, you know, is going to know something you don't, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So, smarter than, better than, prettier than, there's no point in those conversations.
I don't like when people, like they do this a lot at school, and they're like, oh, you look so pretty today, and they're like, no, I don't. You look pretty, and then they have, like, this huge fight about who looks prettier.
Next quote, let your charity grow damp with sweat in your hand until you know who it is you're giving it to.
I would say yes, that's That's probably true, but in the same sense, it's going to be awful hard to control and to know and to understand where your money actually goes until you hear about it and hear about who ran off with it and so forth and so on. So I would say we need to be very careful about where we send our alms, our monies, even though it sounds and they sound as a good cause. I would rather, speaking for myself, my own opinion, I'd rather put my alms, my money, God's tithe, back into my church or into the work that I know that it's going for.
Have you ever given money to something you couldn't find out was a...
Yes.
Can you tell about that?
Well, I can.
Without naming names?
If I would tell, well, maybe I could. There was two or three instances where both of these gentlemen, I'll call them gentlemen to give them some credit, they were giving testimony. They were both on TV, big people. And just these two come to mind, and I'm sure there's others, but they were doing things that would have sent them to hell if God had happened to have come, or they had happened to have been in a deathly accident of some kind. And they both did confess up. One of them spent time in prison, and the other one ought to have also, but he didn't.
Did they ever pay you back?
No.
You still waiting?
No, I've written it off the book.
Say you're out on the street. Say it's not a televangelist, but maybe someone who looks either poor or homeless or something, and they say, hey, man, I need some money, and you're a Christian, so be kind to me and help me out. You're required to. Say they pull that line on you.
I've had that in certain circumstances like that when I was pastoring, and also since I've been an evangelist. Most people know me because I've been around here for nearly 40, 50 years. Uh-huh. And I've had them, several of them even come in this place of business. And if I know of them, of what they are doing that they shouldn't be doing, or what they're spending their money on, I'm very hesitant about giving them much money. It's awful hard for me not to give them enough for a sandwich or a cup of coffee or maybe both. And but I found out that one way to cure that, especially if it's a need like hunger or something to eat, I'd say, well, come on, we'll go down here and I'll sign a ticket for you or leave the money, you know, to the cashier. And, of course, usually I get an answer, no, I don't want to do that. And I say, well, I don't feel like I ought to give you this money because I might be contributing to your addiction.
Okay. Me and Dad, you can take us down and sign the ticket. Right, Dad?
I can do it.
Okay.
In fact, I won't take you. I'll just send you on down the way with the money.
Again? Let your charity grow damp with sweat in your hand until you know who it is you're giving it to.
Like, that's a constant thing. That's something that I've been thinking about when we think about charities, you know, or when I think about charities. It's like, I always think about, okay, how much is really going to the people that need it, and how much is going to administration.
Right.
I don't want it to just go to like the administration part, or like I want it to be able to like a large portion of it going to the folks that actually needs the help. And then also at the same time, I'm thinking about like how it's kind of something I've been struggling with, because like, you know, I'm just myself, I'm a one person, but like I can maybe, you know, raise a little bit of money to help, you know, very specific folks.
You sound like you've had some experience. Like you've given it a try, right? Can you talk about that?
Blend Studio is a small space downtown. In the beginning, we were doing a lot of fundraising
for
different organizations. You know, it's a small space, but all of the money that was made during the holiday show went to a lot of these organizations. Mm-hmm. That organization you just talked about, with prostitution, Downtown Presbyterian Church. Mm-hmm. We gave some money for their Wednesday when they feed the homeless. Mm-hmm.
As far as you know, all these organizations, they're pretty efficient?
As far as I know, they are.
But obviously, you have some reason to be cynical, or
I do. I mean, like, I'm always a little standoffish when there's, like, a religious component to it. You know, me working downtown for almost, like, over 15 years, and, like, the good they do for that, for those folks, thinking about all the other things that came out of that church, you know, the paper, the homeless paper, it's actually in that space. So, yeah, there's all those things, you know, and I've experienced meeting some of the folks there and what they do. They have a lot of volunteers to actually do that on Wednesdays and to do the fundraisers. Also, the waffle lunch.
I've asked this question, I think, of other people that I've posed this quote to, but have you been burned by a charity?
You know what? I don't think I have. I'm just going to bring this up, just this part of it. But, like, you know, at work we get, like, you know, you can sign up for, like, you know, if you want to donate. And, like, I look at the list of folks there that I don't want to give any money to. You know, at all. No, like, I'm like, you know, I don't want to give any money to these folks.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's...
Well, that's your right. I mean...
Right, yeah. Right. And all the ones that's in there, it's all, like, you know, probably 10 cents out of a dollar goes to the help.
Again? Let your charity grow damp with sweat in your hand until you know who it is you're giving it to.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Because I'm in a very giving place right now, and I'm recognizing that I don't have to do anything, actually.
No. That's the funny thing about charity is the concept of my brother's keeper. But when your brother keeps demanding that you keep him,
you're
enabling selfishness and... dependence and...
Yeah, it reminds me of I have to read bedtime stories every night that I have to read over and over and over and over and over and over. And so if I like the book...
To your child, I assume.
To my child, to my 3-year-old.
I don't know if you're talking about to your husband or something, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, sorry. No. I would only be this generous to someone very sweet and kind and...
Oh, adorable. Ouch! Sorry, husband.
I didn't mean that.
I'm just kidding.
Wow, yeah. Anyway, so there's this, like, Disney, like, fan fiction kind of alternative stories they've written, which are really irritating. And one of them is about Cinderella and her sisters. And she's baking a cake for this cake competition. And so Cinderella has all the stuff ready to bake a cake. She has a picture and all the ingredients set aside. And then her evil stepsisters come in and they make this big mess and they make cakes and they ruin all the stuff and they won't clean up after themselves. And then they don't have enough materials to make another cake, so she decides to give them half of her stuff. And then they ruin that one, too, because they drop it on the ground. And so she can only make this really little cake and take it to the thing. But, of course, she gets tied for first place anyway, or, like, best mention or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, finally, so I read it, and, you know, my daughter's such a sponge. I don't want her to just, like, suck everything in that she's being exposed to, especially this book that we've read at least, you know, 15 times.
Right.
And, like, not get that it's total crap, you know?
Yeah.
So I was telling her, like, you don't have to share like that. Like, they didn't appreciate it.
That's good. You're teaching her to question things that you read.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm good with the critical thinking. But, yeah, I think it's, like, a totally messed up thing in our culture that in each book it says... Finally, like, there's the moment where she has to make a decision as to what to do. It says, what would a princess do? And it's this idea of, like, being a princess that you're supposed to, as a woman, just give and give and give and give and give.
Yeah.
No matter what, because I don't know why, because that's what you're supposed to do.
Well, it's funny you should mention princess because, you know, I work sometimes at a toy store. I fill in. And princesses are a big thing. And one day I said to one of my coworkers, I said, aren't we kind of promoting, like, fascism? Because,
nice.
You know, because princesses really, they're absolute power, monarchy.
Yeah.
They can be cruel.
Yeah.
And kings, queens, whatever. It's not specific to gender. And and they're like, yeah, but what are we going to do, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, my daughter got obsessed with pink and purple in January. Mm-hmm. I have no idea why. And now it's like established. And she loves princesses and... I tried to avoid it.
Well.
I did everything I could.
again? Let your charity grow damp with sweat in your hand until you know who it is you're giving it to.
The contemplative part of me would say it's good to be discerning. I'll say for me, you know, I lived in New York for a long time, and at the time when there were many more homeless people, you know, I think they've been shipped out somewhere down to warmer weather or whatever. But when I was there, there were a lot of homeless people, and I don't know how to give one person a dollar and not the other person a dollar. So I was giving all my money away, and then I'd have nothing in my purse, which on the one hand, you know, a lot of people need it more than I do that day. But, you know, I also need some money for to take care of myself.
If you give all your money away, then they're stuck too, because you'll end up with them.
Well, that's an interesting thought. So, mostly I give money to Heifer International, actually.
Heifer?
It's a really great organization. It's wonderful. If you buy a... Like, I bought someone in their name, I bought a goat. And the goat goes to a community, a lot of them in South America, some in Eastern Europe, or Central America. So,
why do they call it Heifer then, if it's a goat?
There's a cow on the cover. but it's just called Heifer International. I don't know. Maybe they started out giving cows.
You might well look into it. They don't know there's a difference between a goat and a cow.
That would be a trouble.
Yeah.
Maybe I bought a cow and I.
There may be a sign that something's not on the up and up.
But it wasn't a pig. I don't know.
And last quote, he who makes his companions laugh deserves paradise.
When we're at restaurants or something, I hear people having a good time, and all they do is laugh and giggle.
Uh-huh.
And I say, why is there so... Because when I'm with people, I don't think we laugh and giggle a lot. Whether we have serious conversations or I'm too busy doing Sudoku.
Do you ever try to overhear what the people are talking about and laughing about?
If they're in a booth behind me or something, I'll kind of focus just to see, you know, how come they're having such a good time?
But they're not making you laugh?
They're not making me laugh, no. Obviously, it's in-road joke. You know, I think I admire that, though, in that when they go out, they're having a good time. Mm-hmm. It sounds like they're having a good time.
Right.
I think I grew up in a pretty serious house where my mother and father worked, and... And I don't remember a lot about my early childhood. I mean, not that it was horrific, but I've talked to my sister about this, and we have very vague memories, like birthday parties and things. And because my parents worked, and it seems like when we came home, it was time for dinner, and then we did homework and went to bed.
So there wasn't a lot of laughter in your home. You can remember?
I don't think so. My dad bowled, and when we'd go watch him, the guys would seem to be having a good time. Bowling. I bowled with him in a father and son league, and I don't remember a lot of hilarious moments. It was pretty serious.
Right.
We were there to win. And maybe that's part of upbringing, and I didn't have it. Like, I'm not ticklish. Did I miss out? My parents didn't take the time to go coochie-coochie-coo, but I am not ticklish. And yet you point a finger at somebody who's ticklish, and they're in hysterics.
You just did it. Sorry.
Again, he who makes his companions laugh deserves paradise.
Yibaba.
Scheiße.
Yibaba. 80% should agree.
Okay, why?
If one person makes other person feel happy and laugh, that'll be great. But if the person is evil and his friend is evil too.
Oh.
And he makes his evil friend laugh, which means... They have made the bad things, the worst things in the world, so they can laugh together.
That's true, because some people laugh at hurting other people, or... I didn't think about that.
So he doesn't deserve heaven.
Have people laughed at you in being evil?
Yeah.
Can you give an example? Chugalitsa.
Okay. Now you can see my hair. It's long, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But when I was in the primary school and the middle school, and my hair was very short, and just when my hair getting a little longer, my mom will push me to cut it. So every time after cutting my hair and enter into the classroom, then my classmates will laugh at me, said, see, Megan's hair is getting shorter. So in our class, the girls' number deduct one and the boys' number increased one.
Why did your mom cut your hair that way?
My mom think if my hair getting longer, then I will pay more attention on my hairstyle, and it takes a long time to take care of my hair, and no time to learn to start it.
I thought you were going to tell me about your dalian.
Dalian.
Yeah, tell that story.
In China, we always say the small face and the big eyes and the cute lips are very sexy and it's a beauty.
Right.
But for me, it's darling, the big faces. And when I took the photo with my good friends, they have the small faces. You can see my face will take half of that photo.
I remember you telling me that sometimes when you would walk down the road, if you pulled your hair back because it was hot, that your face looked bigger. And like strangers would say, "Wow, Dalian, like, wow, look at that big face." Was that true?
Again, he who makes his companions laugh deserves paradise.
I think that the best, truest laughter comes up when you're around people that you trust enough to be vulnerable. And then it's the greatest humor, too, because it's totally situational, you know, and it doesn't necessarily translate because it's based on, like, the whole conversation that you've been having in that whole,
right.
Say, evening, but also based on your however long your relationship is with that person. And then
the character development, you know, so to speak. Yeah.
My best friend in high school, she was pretty fabulous. She was really beautiful, really beautiful. And she didn't really think she was, so it was kind of hilarious. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's good that she didn't acknowledge it. And maybe humble is a good thing.
Yeah.
But she was very kind to me because everybody that I was aware of in high school, everyone was doing drugs and drinking. Mm-hmm. I totally wasn't willing to do that for personal reasons. And so I was always like the sober friend, which would have been fine if I had a car and a driver's license, but I didn't. So it was like, you know, ridiculous.
Pointless to be friends with you.
Sober, carless girl.
Yeah.
So we would get high on our own, you know, teenage girlness, basically, which teenage girls can go off, man. Like, they can laugh like nobody else.
Right.
And I think we got these juices at the hippie grocery store, the like fresh squeezed juice, and then some kind of power bars, like energy bars.
You guys were out of control.
We ate this and we drank the juice. Now I know it's ridiculous. It was like before Red Bull. I mean, it wasn't even about caffeine. It was just like, it was very much a natural high. But we got so crazy and giggled so hard that we actually convinced her boyfriend that I was stoned, which was hilarious because there was no way in hell that I would have been stoned, and he knew that. But he kept like going back and forth and being like, "But are you?" So it was pretty adorable. We kept him going for a while. It was just like teenage girl madness. And then I think finally I admitted it to him because I hate lying. So
yeah. I was trying to think of an anti-drug program instead of like like Nancy Reagan's Just Say No, like when you feel down and depressed, you know, don't put the needle in your arm. Just get some giggle juice and make jokes about Jim and the hologram.
Totally.
Again, he who makes his companions laugh deserves paradise.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because laughter is the best medicine.
Medicine for what?
Gallstones.
For a lot of different
things. Dandruff.
Dandruff.
Scabies.
Eczema. What if,
that would be great.
I laugh so hard. My skin is so smooth today. Yeah. No, I think that it's...
I'm so like, regular. Thank you for making me laugh.
You can also just be having like a very stressful time, and the one thing that would make it a little easier on just this day is to go out with your friends and have a drink and just laugh the whole time. And that way you're not necessarily solving your problem, but you are kind of lifting your spirits. And I think that that's important. And he's really funny. And so are you.
Is that why you married him?
Well, that's why I probably first started dating him.
Yeah.
So yeah, what do you think?
Was that a man that said that quote?
I think so, yes. Why do you say that?
I don't know. I feel like...
Why does it matter?
I'm curious if there's a gender thing.
I feel like that men are just like, that's how they... Or maybe that's just how like I was raised. Like, I just feel like the men are more silly.
Absolutely.
Maybe the women, at least in my family, they are.
But they're like cartoons.
But I also am. I mean,
it's like the one time I hear your dad say anything real is when we leave the house and he hugs you and says, "I love you."
Yeah.
I love you, Bubba, and that's it. And then the whole rest of the time, it could be 2 hours, and it's all just jokes.
I wonder why that
is.
Crazy. You know, obviously.
That's just how. I mean,
genders are kind of like, prone to certain things and. You know, most comedians are men and all that. And there's funny women out there, but it's just no getting around the percentage difference, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I suppose.
There's just, as I get older, I think that maybe drama is the natural way. Or tragedy is the natural, like, is the norm.
In real life, you mean?
In real life, because you
absolutely.
Are, you know, you're born and that is not a fun experience. And you grow up, and then you die.
Oh.
And so, like, those are not fun things. And, like, you kind of have to have the comedy. You have to see some... There's a possum. Possums are funny. But I feel like you have to have the humor to kind of get through it.
Let me ask you this. In our culture right now, there seems to be a bit of a problem with comedy.
Yeah.
It's hard to make a joke without someone getting offended and getting mad and saying,
absolutely.
We can't joke about that. And that's kind of like your family. We joke about everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Death. Mm-hmm. But I mean, and being poor and all that. But I think, if you didn't laugh, you had to cry. I mean, who wants to do that?
Exactly.
And then some people will kind of see us as insensitive. But
yeah. And I mean, I feel like...
It can come off that way, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that there have been times where I've been maybe not offended, but definitely like not ready... for a joke, but that doesn't mean that someone can't make that joke.
You don't cut them off.
Or, no.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we went to Virginia for my great-grandmother's funeral, and, like, I had the hardest time. Like,
You were close with her?
I guess,
raise them a little.
Very early on, but I have, like, a lot of memories. I have a lot of things that, like, feel really... And even still, like, I feel very close. So, we're there for the funeral. I'm, like, losing my shit, like, everywhere, thinking I'm fine, and then, like, I'll just lose my shit. And we go see my dad, like, one of the first things he says is, like, you can't spell funeral without fun. And, like, I am just, like, ready to, like, punch him or, like, scream at him or cry. It's just, like, everything. It's just...
Well, I was going back to, like, insensitivity. Like, do you think that was insensitive?
Well, like, things are insensitive. I think, you know, Kim Kardashian is insensitive to me. You know, it's so, like, there are things that, like, I'm offended by that aren't comedians. Like, I'm offended by Fox News a lot of times. Like, I'm offended by, you know, reality television. I'm offended by bad music. So, it's just, like, you and...
No, when you say offended, though, I mean,
yeah.
What does that even mean?
it's just like, I don't want, like, you are putting that in
my... takes it, like, really personally.
You're putting that in my face, and I don't want that.
Okay.
And they have a right to, and other people do want to hear that.
Right.
But so, like, if someone gets offended at, like, an abortion joke, or if someone gets offended at like, you know, a joke about Muhammad, or a joke about Christians, or a joke about whatever, like, I can do poop jokes. Like, moms are offended by poop jokes. Did they start, like, a coalition to, like, ban poop jokes in kindergarten?
Like, so you're okay with being offended, like it's like a...
That is life. You're gonna be offended. Right. I'm offended by the dress you're wearing right now.
Oh, man. I wore it for you. Am I showing too much leg or not enough?
Your balls are showing.
Yeah. The guy at the shop said that would be a real plus.
I do like the bow. You have to laugh. If Congress and the Senate and the President, if everyone would take five, like, meditation, if we would all just, like, watch an Abbott and Costello video for 5 minutes a day, and just, like, everyone had their chuckle, then...
I think you're onto something there.
I think that we would be better. Like, there's...
I like meditation. Come on.
No, meditation is great. Like, you can meditation on, like, what makes Abbott and Costello funny.
Now the source of the quotes. Without the backdrop of ignorance, it is obvious that I'm no great mind. Without an idiot standing next to me, my own inadequacies appear in profusion, and they are plain in the friends around me as well. It's from the book No Enemies, No Hatred, written by Liu Xiaobo, a mainland Chinese writer, professor, and human rights activist who won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2010. Unfortunately, he could not collect the award because he was imprisoned for criticizing the Chinese Communist Party. Sadly, as I record this, Liu Xiaobo is still not free. Next quote, "Let your charity grow damp with sweat in your hand until you know who it is you're giving it to." It's from the Didache, a Christian manuscript written in the middle 1st century AD. Though mentioned by name in other Christian writings, the Didache was lost for nearly 1,800 years until it was found tucked away in a monastery in Jerusalem in 1873. And last quote, "He who makes his companions laugh deserves paradise." It's from a book called The Recitation, but is better known by its Arabic name, the Quran, the holy book of the Muslims. The In the Corner Back by the Woodpile podcast is produced by A Closet, A Pocket, and A Suitcase. You can email us at spuncounterguy@hotmail.com. And a special thanks to thebrofisticate.com.